Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 162 for the week of May 16th, 2022. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Okay, before we dig into the usual data this week, I wanted to discuss the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration recently published data for March, and there are some notable data points. First, the number of positive test results or refusals to take tests was the highest for any month in the program, which of course dates back to January of 2020. Now, that's not great news, of course, but you need another piece of information in order to understand why that number was so high. It wasn't because truck drivers suddenly are using more drugs. It's because the number of pre-employment queries soared in March to the highest level in the program. The nearly 225,000 pre-employment queries were up more than 21% from February, and only once before have we seen a larger percentage increase, and that was in March of last year. In absolute numbers, though, March saw the largest increase by far. You will recall from last week's episode that payroll employment in April saw its strongest seasonally adjusted gain in 9 years, although the data sets don't match up precisely because the queries data is not seasonally adjusted. It does appear to be a correlation. For example, queries declined 3.2% in February, and March saw a decline in payroll employment. Likewise, January was a strong month, in fact, the third highest for pre-employment queries since the program began, and February, in turn, was a strong month for payroll employment growth in trucking. Although we did not discuss this data last week due to time constraints, we actually had it a few days before the April jobs report, and I had posted on it in LinkedIn about it being an indicator that payroll employment for trucking in April likely would be strong, which, of course, it was. Okay, let's continue with a look at diesel prices. So technically, we had some good news in the latest week because diesel prices fell. But they fell all of 1 cent nationwide to $5.61.3 a gallon for the week ended May 16th. However, has been the case recently, the weekly price changes varied significantly depending on geography. The three largest increases were in the East Coast subregions. New England's average price jumped 9.2 cents. Central Atlantic increased 4.2 cents, and Lower Atlantic was up 2.5 cents. Prices were down 4.4 cents in the Gulf Coast region, and 4 cents in the Midwest. And the rest of the country saw little change. As discussed last week, a big issue, and this is especially true on the East Coast, is depleted inventories of distillate. In the latest weekly data, stocks of distillate fell further nationwide and in the East, although only slightly so. Total U.S. stocks of ultra-low sulfur distillate, the base stock for on-highway diesel, declined to their lowest level since November of 2014. Inventories of distillate on the East Coast once again were the lowest on record in data that goes back to 1990. While the supply of diesel seems to be putting upward pressure on diesel prices only in the East, Another factor potentially could mean higher prices nationwide in the coming days or weeks. Crude prices had been trading mostly between $100 and $110 a barrel, and in fact had not closed above $110 a barrel since March 25th. But on Friday the 13th, West Texas Intermediate closed slightly above $110, and then on May 16th, crude jumped nearly $4 to close at $114.20 a barrel. Now, this is hardly a trend. We could see crude prices fall back this week, or indeed we could see them keep rising. But in any case, this development is not good news for fuel costs. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for truck freight for the week ended May 13th, which is week 19 of the year. After rising slightly in the prior week, dry van and refrigerated spot rates in the truckstop.com system returned to their downward trend. Flatbed spot rates also declined slightly. The effects of declining rates on carriers operating in the spot market are compounded by ongoing increases in diesel prices. Spot volume also is down in all three segments. Rates and volume likely will rise in all segments during the current week due to international road check. Total spot rates declined nearly 2 cents. The broker posted total rate was about 2% ahead of the same 2021 week, but FTR estimates that excluding an imputed fuel surcharge, rates would be down nearly 13% year over year. The total spot rate is only about 10 cents below the record posted at the end of 2021, but the rate excluding fuel is nearly 44 cents below the record. Also, as we will discuss, there are some pretty major differences by segment. Dry van rates decreased nearly 3 cents. Rates are down about 69 cents from the record posted at the end of last year. Dry van rates were nearly 12% lower than the same week in 2021, but nearly 31% lower if an imputed fuel surcharge is excluded. Refrigerated spot rates fell more than 11 cents. They are down nearly $1.33 since hitting a record at the end of 2021. Refrigerated rates were about 16% below the same 2021 week, but about 33% lower excluding a fuel surcharge. And flatbed spot rates eased by half a cent. Although the decreases in the past 2 weeks were small, the segment had not seen consecutive weeks with declining rates since November. Flatbed rates were more than 7% higher than the same 2021 week, but more than 6% lower than that week if an imputed fuel surcharge is excluded. Okay, let's talk volume. Total load postings fell 7%. Volume was more than 34% below the same week last year, but still about 58% ahead of the five-year average for the week. Last year's volume was just barely below the all-time high volume posted in the prior week, and that was the week that contained the three-day roadside inspection event known as International Road Check. This year's event is being held this week. Let's look at volume by segment. Dry van load postings fell about 11%, which is more than reversing the prior week's solid gain. Volume was about 37% below the level posted in the same 2021 week, but about 40% above the five-year average for the week. Refrigerated volume fell nearly 15% for the largest decrease in about 3 months. Volume was 33% lower than the same week last year, but nearly 55% above the five-year average for the week. Flatbed load postings declined nearly 5%. Volume was about 34% below the same 2021 week, but about 67% above the five-year average for the week. Before we move on, I want to address a topic that has gotten a lot of attention recently, and that is whether we are seeing a decline in freight volumes. We are generally seeing that in the spot market, especially for dry van and refrigerated segments, but that does not mean that volume is falling for the overall truck freight network. As we have discussed recently, driver capacity clearly has been returning, And that surely means that route guides are improving so that shippers do not have to turn to the spot market as often. Despite risks due to inflation, we'll discuss that shortly, consumer-related economic indicators have been generally stable, and industrial-related indicators have actually been improving. FDR's estimates of total dry van and refrigerated volume indicate that those segments are holding strong, even as spot market volumes in those segments have fallen sharply. The presentation deck accompanying this podcast includes some charts showing what I'm talking about. One point on how to interpret those charts, however. The total and spot volume indexes have nothing to do with each other directly. They are indexed individually to 2014 average volume for each, and indeed they're even plotted on separate y-axes to make it easier to visualize the trends. One key takeaway is that changes in spot volume do not necessarily mean that overall volume is changing to the same extent or even in the same direction. Why not? Because the ability of the contract environment to handle volume changes over time as productivity and especially things like driver capacity change over time. Another important point is that while spot freight in the van segments is falling, it still is far above normal. So this trend could continue for quite a while as activity shifts back to contract from spot. What might speed or slow that normalization? Well, that's a topic for another day. Let's wrap up the weekly indicators with a couple of more metrics, starting with unemployment. First-time claims for unemployment benefits barely changed and are really not worth commenting on, but continued claims for unemployment fell by 44,000, seasonally adjusted, to 1.343 million. That is the lowest level since the beginning of January 1970. Now, let's talk about mortgage rates. According to Freddie Mac, the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now 5.3%. That is the highest since July of 2009. Rising rates likely will put downward pressure on home sales. The National Association of Realtors reports data on sales of existing homes later this week. We also this week get data on housing starts and permits. Most of the rest of the podcast is about inflation at either the consumer or producer levels, so that's what it's about. U.S. consumers saw the mildest overall pricing growth in April since the beginning of 2021, but declining gasoline prices after the big surge in March was the principal factor. The consumer price index for all items increased 0.3%, seasonally adjusted. However, the gasoline component fell 6.1% after the 18.3% spike in March. The big drop in gas prices offset gains in other areas. Increases in the indexes for food, airfares, and new vehicles were the largest contributors. Indexes for used cars and trucks and for apparel saw small declines. The effect of gasoline shows up in the core CPI, which is CPI excluding the volatile food and energy sectors. Core CPI rose 0.6%, which was higher than February and March and matches the strongest gains seen since June. The 12-month changes for CPI and core CPI both declined in April, but that is a function of how long inflation has been an issue. The first big jump in the CPI for all items occurred in March of last year, while the big increase the first big increase we saw in core CPI occurred in April of last year. Therefore, strong inflation is now basically factored into the baseline for the 12-month change. For that reason, the 12-month change will continue to decline unless we see consistent acceleration in CPI growth. Even so, the 12-month change will not return to the target range of 1.5% to 2.5% until monthly increases fall back to the typical 0.1% or 0.2% level that we saw before the pandemic. Based on trends to date, May likely will see stronger gains in the CPI than in April. Gasoline prices in the latest week jumped more than 16 cents nationwide to a record level, following an increase the week before that really wasn't very much smaller. Okay, let's talk about inflation at the producer level. There was some good news here, as the increase in the producer price index for final demand in April was the weakest since the end of 2020. However, the modest April increase followed a gain in March that was the strongest on record. The PPI for final demand increased 0.5%, seasonally adjusted, after jumping 1.6% in March. The relatively modest increase in April was largely a function of the service sector, where final demand was flat month over month. Final demand goods rose 1.3%. One of the largest contributors was diesel fuel, which rose 4.7% after the nearly 21% jump in April. And that occurred even though the gasoline producer price index fell in April, as I mentioned earlier. The PPIs for freight transportation services saw broad-based gains in April, with record increases for both general freight truckload and rail intermodal. The general freight truckload PPI rose 5.4%, surpassing the revised 5.1% increase in March, and that had previously been a record. The rail intermodal PPI jumped 8.1%, surpassing by a large margin the prior record set in March of last year. The producer price index for long-distance specialized trucking increased 2.5%, which was down from the record 6.1% surge in March, and the LTL PPI also moved higher. The effect of fuel prices on the April indexes is unclear. As noted above, the diesel fuel PPI rose in April, although not by nearly as much as it did in March and February. On the other hand, retail prices for on-highway diesel, which typically are the basis for fuel surcharges, were slightly lower in April than they were in March. Given the timing of price surges and Bureau of Labor Statistics data collection periods, it certainly is possible that much of the price gain in March did not show up until the April report. However, if we presume that the effect of fuel on truck transportation producer price indexes was consistent across all segments, truckload apparently showed particular pricing strength, as its gain in April was slightly stronger than its March increase, while the other trucking segment saw a deceleration from March. If so, this development would seem consistent with the interpretation I discussed earlier, that ongoing declines in van segment spot rates is related to a shift of freight activity into the contract environment. One note here before we move on, large revisions of initial producer price index data are common, and they're usually to the downside. For example, the initial estimate for March had been an 8% increase in the general freight truckload producer price index, but the latest data revised that gain downward to 5.1%. That, however, was still a record until April. Let's wrap up with a discussion of business formation. Although applications for new businesses ticked up in April, business applications in the transportation and warehousing sector continued to ease. Business applications in the sector were down 3.4%, seasonally adjusted. They were still, however, more than 64% higher than in February of 2020. But the peak was in May of 2021 at more than 97% above pre-pandemic levels. Applications in transportation and warehousing for new businesses have fallen for 6 straight months. Given the sector's profile, changes from month to month would be driven mostly by the trucking and possibly the parcel and local delivery sectors. Not to force a theme to this week's podcast, too hard, but a deceleration in entrepreneurship coupled with the acceleration in payroll employment growth we talked about last week would square with the idea that activity is shifting back to contract from spot. Okay, let's recap the key takeaways for the week. A strong increase in pre-employment queries led to higher drug testing violations for CDL drivers. Diesel prices eased 1 cent in the latest week. Spot market rates and volume declined. Continued jobless claims were the lowest since early in 1970. Mortgage rates are the highest since July of 2009. Consumer inflation cooled slightly due to stable fuel prices. The truckload and intermodal producer price indexes saw record gains, and business applications in transportation declined. Next week, we'll talk about industrial production and manufacturing output, retail sales, residential construction, sales of existing homes, and first quarter revenues for the trucking industry. Plus, as usual, we'll cover the latest on diesel prices and the spot market for truck freight. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 162 for the week of May 16th, 2022. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we hope you will join us.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.